get it and flip it, I did it off the nine. Stay in the kitchen, I'm never off of mine. And now I'm Kemp in his prime.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another edition of Ball Don't Lie. It's episode 143. As usual, man, we're your hosts, Scott and Dante. You know to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Barbershare Scott, at October's on Tay. You can follow the Barber's Chair Network at Barber's Chair Net on Twitter and Instagram. Subscribe to our Patreon, patreon.com/Barber's Chair Network. And if you are a subscriber, I would advise you to subscribe to the $10 package, Barbershop Access. But starting this Friday, me and Dante are going to be doing our little Ball Don't Lie weekly, I guess you want to call it like a Manning cast. I guess you want to talk picky. Like, we're going to be picking one game a week, one national game a week. We're not even national game. You niggas got lead pass. Whatever game of the week that we feel like would be a good game to go over, and we're just going to be on there talking about the game, talk about anything else going on in the NBA. We have guests coming on. It'll be on the Patreon, live streaming on the Patreon for all our $10 subscribers starting this week. So come in, man. Fuck with us. This week we're going to do Brooklyn Nets, Atlanta Hawks. That's going to be a big game. I think the game's in Atlanta, if I'm not mistaken. I'm pretty sure the game's in Atlanta.
Yeah.
The Nets have yet to beat a team of substance, so this is going to be interesting. They damn sure ain't beat our Chicago Bulls, which we're going to get into in a minute. But, you know what I'm saying? So tune in with us, man. Fuck with us, man. And yeah, we're going to try to make this a weekly thing, man. So look out for that. Let's get into it, man. I'm feeling real hot take-ish this afternoon. This afternoon, I'm feeling real good about my basketball team. Right now, we are sitting with a slight edge on a number one seed in the Eastern Conference, the 17-8. And this is off us, you know, not having our whole roster. You know, of course, we know P-Dub out for the season. Well, not out. I'm not going to say out for the season. Out 4 to 6 months with his injury, his wrist injury. Caruso is going to miss a week with his hamstring injury. And we've really been bitten by the COVID bug, man. I mean, Boots just came back from COVID. Javonte Green and Kobe White on the COVID list. DeMar DeRozan just got added to the COVID list. There was a little hope that it was a negative, that was a false positive. But it was not. It was actually positive, so he's going to be out for at least the next 10 days. The good thing for the Bulls, they got a light schedule without him out, pretty much. And then, you know, they had went into that game last night against Denver, and I was not expecting us to win without Debo, without Caruso, with all them. A real good team, especially Jokic being back. And, man, what a game. What a game we saw from Zach. And one thing I loved about Zach's performance last night, I thought Zach was going to be king go to hell ball. I was like, DeMar's not playing. He's finna be chucking. Yeah. But he actually probably played the smartest game I've ever seen Zach LaVine play in a Bulls uniform. Like, he was patient. He had 8 assists. He was shooting pretty good from the field. He's playmaking. He's getting everybody else involved. And third quarter came, he said, fuck it. You know what I'm saying? He came out there and he did what he needed to do. Huge game from Lonzo. Lonzo was 20-10. Vooch was 20-10. Now, Vooch was, like, terrible from the field. But Vooch was still shooting, which I respect. He's making a lot of big plays. You know, those rebounds are good. And I actually got to give it to him. I think he played pretty solid defense on Jokic. It was best you can on Jokic.
Yeah.
And I love the adjustments from Billy Donovan, too. You know, they stopped double-teaming Jokic in the second half, which closed up the three-point line.
Yeah, absolutely. It was a big win, good team win. It shows you that, you know, even with players out, they're still able to play their brand of basketball and impose their will on other teams. And that's going to be big going forward. But Vooch's best play was off the field last night when he went to dinner with the Joker. You know, now that we see these baby-ass fines, you know what I'm saying, we're going to tamper all the way to the max. We're going to turn this up. You know, they rolled out the red carpet for Vooch last night. But no, that was a great team win. You know what I'm saying? Just like, I'm with you, bro. It's really starting to look a lot less like just talk when we say that the Bulls can be, you know, a top three seed at the end of the season when this season is over. And you got DeMar averaging 26 a game. You got Zach averaging 25. You said Lonzo has been, you know, really an anchor on defense. Him and Caruso, the things that they've been able to do. And man, the only real, I would say, concerns I have or things I think they need to work on is obviously the offense against the zone, and we need some more size. Like, even though we have a lot of guys who play bigger than their size, and it is, you know, when we go three guards, you got 3-6-5 dudes, so it's not like you're running 3-point guards out there. But at the end of the day, you are going to need some more size. So I think, you know, the front office knows that, and that's something that they'll look into. But I'm with you, bro. I really feel like, you know, the sky's the limit with this lineup.
I'm going to just go all the way there. Like, I'm not going to clarify this. I'm not putting my foot all the way in the pool yet, but I'm playing with the water a little bit right now.
Right.
And if this team, what this team has been showing me, I think the Denver win was the best win of the season. Just, you know, considering how little this team, you know, how thin this team is right now, you know, with all the COVID shit. I mean, fucking Matt Thomas got minutes last night, and he got minutes in the fucking first quarter. I mean, there was a time where there was like a lineup of Matt Thomas, Ayo, which Ayo was great, by the way. Ayo was one of the keys to that game. Derrick Jones Jr., Alize Johnson, and I think Tony Bradley. And I was like, what is this preseason ass lineup? And that's just show you how thin they are. So much, despite all that, you still go out there and you win a game. You win a game in which Jokic has a triple-double, and that's what was impressive to me. So this is like, when we get healthy, and if AK and Mark Eversley make the proper moves at the deadline, or, you know, even before the deadline, or, you know, Bulls are going to be in the buyout market for the first time ever.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, we ain't never heard that word in Chicago.
Ever. So when that situation is put together, I really think this team might have a little bit of 2020 Phoenix Suns in them. And this is why I say that. Last year, when they got Chris Paul, I think a lot of people are like, oh, that'd be a nice little 5 seed, you know what I'm saying, make the playoffs. And this team made a run all the way to the finals with just that Chris Paul addition. Chris Paul was able to make DeAndre Ayton better. It made people realize, oh, the numbers that Devin Booker were putting up weren't just empty numbers. Spotlighted Mikal Bridges, and that whole team just became better just because of his presence. And I think what you're seeing now is the same thing with DeMar DeRozan and Lonzo Ball and Caruso. You know, these guys are adding to what we thought we had last year with Zach and Vooch. And we have a great coach in Billy Donovan. And if you look at the landscape of the Eastern Conference, I mean, I still think, you know, we haven't played Milwaukee yet, and Milwaukee is undefeated when their big three is playing this season. I'm really interested to see how we're going to match up against them. And I know we're 2-0 against Brooklyn in a series. Of course, I'm still probably going to pick Brooklyn because they have Kevin Durant and James Harden, and you always roll the team with the superstars. The superstars will win you games in the NBA in the playoffs. This team got a fighting chance if AK makes some more moves at the deadline. You know what I'm saying? You can go out there, you get you a Miles Turner or a Jeremy Grant or something of that nature, and you can really solidify this team. I think they got a shot, and the East is as wide open as it's going to be. Like, you know, and as great as Giannis is, as great as KD is, I don't feel like how I felt in 2011 and 2012 and even 2015, like, yeah, but LeBron.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? LeBron was like our Aaron Rodgers. Like, yeah, but can you beat that nigga? And that's no disrespect to KD and Giannis. You know what I'm saying? It's just they don't have that fear. Like, oh, because you know, like LeBron, he's gonna do whatever he's gonna do to beat you. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, you can have the better team on paper. It's not gonna fucking matter because it's got LeBron James. Now, I don't think that's the case anymore with the Lakers because LeBron is old.
Yeah, but prime LeBron.
LeBron.
Up on that court, you knew what it was.
Prime, right? LeBron. You know what I'm saying? And I think the closest we got to 2015 was our shot. Now, granted, they should have called technical on Black, but whatever. When he hit that corner three, it was a wrap for the Bulls window. Like, period. So it's like, as much as I respect Giannis, as much as I respect KD, I mean, KD's my man. They don't instill the same fear in me as prime LeBron does. So if the right tinkers are made to this roster, sky's the limit in my fucking opinion, because I really feel like Zach LaVine I think Zach LaVine has a potential to have a Devin Booker type playoff. And especially because I think he's a better player than Devin Booker. And I've been saying that for the last couple of years. Me and Pappy been saying that for the last couple of years. Yeah. And I think people really going to see it this year. And you know, a lot of people's like, well, DeMar is trash in the playoffs, which is true. We've seen it. That's probably one of the biggest reasons why I wasn't the biggest DeMar fan when he was in Toronto. But I challenge you with this. And DeMar said this. He's never played with a player like Zach LaVine. All respect to Kyle Lowry. I fuck with Kyle Lowry. He's not Zach. He doesn't score like Zach LaVine.
I'm glad you said that, because I'm sick of niggas acting like Kyle Lowry is suddenly this fucking world beater.
Yeah.
Ever since the Raptors won a title. Like, I get it, bro. But y'all won that title because of Kawhi Leonard.
Exactly.
Like, everybody's been like just throwing all this praise on Kyle Lowry. And bro, it's cool. He decent. He good. He an all-star player. You know what I'm saying? But it's been a little bit excessive. So I feel you. I think DeMar is definitely in a situation where he's going to be able to redeem himself for some of the playoff performances, and he's going to have a better team around him than he did when he was in Toronto. Yep. And one thing I'll say about this Bulls team is all season, they've answered every question we've had.
Yeah.
When they went out on a road trip without Vooch, we said, damn, what they going to do? I mean, they finished out on a road trip well. That 13-game stretch, they were 9-4. Brooklyn, they beat them twice, you know what I'm saying? Because when we started the season, everybody was saying, oh, yeah, y'all beat the Pistons. Y'all beat weak teams. But now we've seen them play up to the level of their competition. And then in a game like last night, when you got five or six people out, you don't just get blown out by 30. Last year, the Bulls would have just got their ass beat last night.
100%.
Would have just laid down. And so now you're seeing those improvements. And so I'm with you, bro. And so, like I said, my main thing is they've answered every question I've had all season. So I can't sit here and say that I don't think they can beat a team in a seven-game series. Obviously, that's completely different than playing teams off back-to-backs or just random regular season games. When you get there to sit and game plan for somebody for an entire series. So we'll see how they respond to that. But right now, like I said, I got to see that matchup with Milwaukee, because Milwaukee still is the champ, and they're still
Milwaukee's
really
the champ.
They are really good. They're a really good basketball team.
Really good team, and Giannis is the best playing basketball. I mean, you know, I like KD. KD is great. I finally had to get off my KD's best play in the league soapbox, and I just had to give it to Giannis. Giannis is at the point right now where he's like, there's nothing you can do about him. Like, he's officially reached that point, like, okay, you just hope you slow everybody else down. Because Giannis, remember, there was a big question for last year. Can Giannis get a shot at the end of the game? We never seen that. You know, Jimmy took him out of his game 2 years before. Kawhi eliminated that nigga like I've never seen, you know what I'm saying, in 2019. But after last year, I mean, just, he got that monkey off his back. I mean, that game six against Phoenix, to me, is the top five NBA Finals performance I've ever seen in my fucking life. You know what I'm saying? That's up there with Jordan and Kobe and Shaq and LeBron and Magic and Bird. Like, it's up there with that type of shit. So I definitely want to see how they matched up. But if this team, I think the thing this team is missing is some physicality with, we need some length. That's why I think Jeremy Grant would be great. I would love Jeremy Grant. Miles Turner would be great. I think Miles Turner. Thompson,
everybody's favorite cheetah. Put him on a bench. I'm telling you.
Put him on the bench.
Inning,
yes, you can.
Second unit, not starting. No, not at all. Not starting. Second.
A good
unit.
Bench guy. Yeah.
Yeah. Second good unit. Bench guy. Let's be clear. Let's clarify that one.
You can get him. He might
he'll be on the buyout market.
He'll be on the buyout market. You get him on for the buyout market. Trade for Miles Turner. See what the fuck Indy want. Then you can start selling me on some things. You know what I'm saying? That's when I can start to see, but. Because we don't know if Kyrie Sunflower is coming back. I'm at the remember we were setting our over under for February.
Yep.
That nigga might not come back.
He might. Yeah. It's
really he legit might not come back, because it has been radio silent on the Kyrie front.
Last thing we heard was, unless he gets traded, he ain't playing. So,
and even if he gets traded with all these new mandates, that shit ain't gonna matter.
Yeah.
So that's gonna be something. But I think it's foolish to put a cap on what this Bulls team can do this season. Because, like you said, we've been dealing with injuries. We've been dealing with COVID. And let's be real, the NBA is not giving us a break with this schedule. We have had one of the toughest schedules to start the fucking season, like, ever, nigga. I ain't never seen no shit like this.
I think the only team with a more ridiculous schedule, I think the Heat played 13 of their first 17 games in a row.
Yeah.
Like, something crazy like that.
Yeah.
But the schedule's been awful.
And if you look at these next five that we're going to miss with – that DeMar's going to miss, you got Cleveland. Cleveland is a pretty competitive team. We'll talk about them later in the podcast. You should still win that game, even without DeMar, I believe. Miami's going to be tough, but we don't know if Jimmy's going to play, because Jimmy's been in and out of lineup, and Bam's out for the next month and a half. And then you've got Toronto, and then you've got Detroit next week. Both of those are home games. So – I think we got enough to at least stay afloat until Debo gets back. And then we're 9 games over .500. That's why you win these games right now. You know what I'm saying? So they got a good shot, man. So I'm excited. It's just the main thing for the Bulls. You just want to be in a conversation to put yourself in there. And also, like I said, the bigger picture is this is about to be an attractive place for free agents. Like, the Jokic thing, I believe, is realistic. You know what I'm saying? We make our little Twitter jokes, but I really think that's something that's a huge possibility. He's going to be a free agent in 2023. Vooch will be off the books. Denver's not gonna win a championship. Let's just keep it a buck.
Yeah.
AK drafted Jokic, and Chicago has one of the highest Serbian populations in America. And Jokic actually talked about that after the game. He said, man, he loves coming to Chicago because he sees all the flags and it feels like he's back at home. That's gonna have a big factor in that, man. So that's something to look forward to, man. So I'm excited about what's gonna happen with the Bulls. They're must see TV, and the vibes are back at the United Center for the first time in a while. So let's get on to Portland, man. Damian Lillard, man. I'm at the point right now where Dame is reaching Kyrie and Ben Simmons status for me. Why would you just go away?
No, whoa. That's a lot. You're going to talk about that.
I wish you would go away because I'm tired. I'm tired of the situation. I'm tired. Either stay or don't, nigga. Like, I'm tired of the back and forth every time, you know. Versus you not running from the grind. Now it's you're getting upset with Chauncey Billups. Now it's, you would love to play with Ben Simmons. Then it's, I'll stay, but you niggas got to pay me more. I just want this nigga to shut up. Like, I just go away. Go away and just figure out a role where you want to go, bro. Wait, because this is getting ridiculous at this point. And to me, if you, of course, were bringing the Ben Simmons aspect into this, if I'm the Sixers, I want Dame back if I'm giving up Ben Simmons.
Yeah.
You're not giving me CJ McCollum for Ben Simmons. I'm sorry. That's just not going to fucking happen. And if you're Dame, I really don't know if Ben Simmons adds that roster with both of them niggas on there anyway.
No, you're absolutely right. And then, like, this is the problem when painting yourself as the loyal guy.
Yeah.
Because then when it's time for you to leave, now you look like a dickhead. And everybody's like, you said you wanted to stay when clearly it's time to change. And shuffling that roster ain't gonna be enough because you're not gonna get the superstar talent that Dame wants to come to Portland. It's just not happening, bro. Like we've been there, done that, tried it. They're not attracting those type of free agents. So if you're Dame, I agree with you. It would be better to be just moving in silence behind the scenes, trying to get something done, as opposed to just these constant updates. I want to play with this guy and that guy. And I know that's how everything has been played lately, you know, through the media with all these superstars when they upset. But at the end of the day, it's like, bro, I don't think this is going to work well for you. Like, Portland just doesn't really have the leverage. You're talking about a team, organization that just fired their general manager. You don't like the coach. Like, I wouldn't even say he don't like him. He didn't want him hired.
I mean,
right, exactly. He didn't want him hired. So it's a situation where if I'm looking at that, why would I want to come play there? You feel me? So I'm with you. I ain't gonna go as far as go away, but just handle your business, bro. All right. You fucked up by saying run from the grind, but it's about that time.
And it's like, and the reason I'm saying go away because it's like there's nothing else to talk about, y'all. Like the team stinks. So it's like there's nothing to talk about. Make a decision. Pick a lane, my nigga. That's what I want Dane to do. If you're dedicated to the grind and you ain't going nowhere, cool. Be dedicated to that and figure out about trying to find a way to help this team get to the next level. If you want to go, then just come out here and say you want to fucking go.
11 like, 14, I, man, nigga. I ain't gonna get it done.
Yeah, look, let's just, you know, I'm tired of this shit, bro. It's whatever. That's why I'm at with Dame right now. And it's like, I kind of want him to run for the ground because I'm a Dame fan. I love watching Dame's game. He's entertaining. And I think this Portland Blazers roster has reached the max of what they're going to do. There's nothing else I feel like he can really bring to the table. So go out there and run from the grind, man. And you don't owe these niggas shit. Like, I understand he wants to be a loyal guy, but if you got hurt tomorrow, the Blazers will find a way to get your ass up out of here. You don't owe them no loyalty. I understand Blazers fans are good. You don't owe them shit. What's Dame like? What now? 31 now?
Dame, you can shake that real
31,
quick.
31, 30. He gotta be in his 30s.
No, he's definitely in his 30s. I think he's like 32.
It's about winter time, bro. It's winter time. Like, when are you going to figure 31. Out 31? So it's time to figure out what you're gonna do, bro. Time to make that decision. let's go our next topic, man. Let's talk about Zion. Are you worried about Zion? Because we be seeing these pictures, and I will say I saw Zion in person last week, last Monday when the Clippers played the Pelicans. And some of these pictures I be seeing on the internet are a little misleading.
Yeah, they photoshopped.
I'm starting to think they photoshopped because he just looks like a big nigga. And I was sitting courtside, you know, because I was, you know, we were covering the game courtside. So I had a clear view of this big ass nigga. And he's just like one of them niggas who just naturally big. Like, he didn't look, when I was looking at him, he didn't look like he was just fat and out of shape. He's like a big nigga. But I am concerned about the injury shit. Has this nigga even played 3 months, like 2 months consistently in his NBA career yet? This is third season. I don't even think he missed damn near all of his first season. He didn't come back and during the bubble season. Like, he missed the whole second half bubble season. And I think last year was the most he played.
Which they made the bubble for him. That's what they did. Like, that's the crazy part.
Exactly.
They made the bubble for
they
Zion.
They made the bubble so they get Zion in there.
We're going to get our money's worth for this nigga this year.
Yeah.
And then they still missed it. But no, I am worried because my whole thing is when you have a player whose primary, I don't even say primary skill, but like he has, he's an extremely gifted athlete and he's explosive and he explodes a lot, bro. Your knees, your feet, your ankles, when those things start to get hurt and then you start to continue to get those injuries, that's a problem. And so when you see him in year three having these problems, and we've talked about how a lot of these guys grow up only hooping and they already have hella miles on them from AAU, from high school, college, and now you come to the pros. And so I think the buildup of all of that over the years is definitely dangerous, G. So I am worried because, like I said, his explosiveness is one of his prime assets. And so if he's not able to do that or if he has to really change his game when he's been doing that his entire life, who knows what we're going to get.
Yeah, I agree with that shit, man. It's just like they got to figure out what the fuck they doing in New Orleans, man.
They're not going to have a team in like 3 years, bro. Like,
I'm really starting to believe that.
Don't be shocked if they not the team to move to Vegas. Like,
anybody moving to Vegas, I think they should move them to Seattle. Give Seattle a team.
Yeah.
We don't need an NBA team in Vegas.
It's going to happen, bro. You got to face it. The MLS just announced a team. The A's are trying to move there. They're going to have every major, especially now that sports gambling is legal in more states. They're going to bring every team there. That was the green light they needed.
Yeah, 100%, man. So I just hope they get something going. That would make some sense. Because I think David Griffin needs to thank LeBron James because he's low-key looking like a fraud out here.
Oh, yeah, super fraud.
He's low-key looking like a fraud, man. But let's talk about these COVID issues, man. I feel like the NBA is getting like a little outbreak right now. And it's actually kind of funny because it's the most vaccinated league. And they having all these issues. Now that the Bulls got their little issue going on, and now they've got these new restrictions, new mandates that's going to be going into effect here. We've got this from Shams that was tweeted a couple days ago. But beginning December 17th, NBA players who have not received booster COVID-19 dose will be subject to game day testing. Also on December 17th, team personnel who have yet to receive booster are no longer permitted to interact with players, travel with team, or continue as tier one. And then today it was tweeted that beginning January 15th, any NBA player who is not fully vaccinated will be unable to enter Canada to play games in Toronto. Canadian government will require all individuals entering Canada to be fully vaccinated. And if a player can't show full proof of full vaccination and misses a game in Toronto, he will be subject to reduction of compensation and maybe subject to fines, suspension, or other action. NBA informs teams today. What do you think, Phil, about that?
I think it's smart when you like look at the science of all of this and we're really trying to stop the spread of these while continuing to live our lives instead of shutting down like we should. Or not even say we should, what would be the best option and the best way to cut this out? If you're going to move like this, you got to move safely. Like, I know a lot of people don't look back at things like this, but the flu we know today, you know, influenza, when they had vaccines, that's how they did it. Like, you weren't allowed to come out in the streets if you weren't vaccinated. Like, it was really that serious, and that's how you contain things like this. So I think for the league, like I said, if we're going to make the decision that, hey, we're going to continue to operate despite the fact that this is an airborne contagious virus, We got to be safe. We got to be vaccinated, boosted, all of that shit. And so, I mean, the players may not like it, but it makes sense from a business standpoint because they can't. They don't want to stop again because they don't want to lose another dollar.
Yeah, man. And by the way, Amazon Prime is down. I was just wondering why the fuck my groceries got canceled. Well, anyway. I was like, nigga, what the fuck? Jeff Bezos, man, you fucking up, bro. You fucking up. But yeah, I one thing I love about the NBA, I kind of feel like they're the strictest on this. I did not expect the NBA to have more cases than the NFL did this year. which I feel like the NFL has been pretty strict with this, but them niggas play outside.
Also, at this point, I think them niggas lying. Let's just call a spade.
Ooh, the NFL?
I think the NFL is lying. Flat out. You mean to tell me you motherfuckers waited till week 14? And, oh, yeah, AB, by the way, you got a fake vaccine card. Y'all didn't figure that out already, bro? Like, stop playing with me, G. It took his chef snitching on him for y'all to realize this man had a fake vaccination card. Like, this shit is a joke, bro. Like, I think the NFL has been bullshitting us because they just want to keep the games going.
Nothing will be out of the realm of possibility with what's his name, Roger Goodell. I definitely would not take
just like
that out.
Just like you telling me LeBron sat at home and took 8 COVID tests. No, he called Adam. He called him. He said, bro, stop playing with me. And that, said, I'm like, playing tonight, nigga.
Look, that what pisses me off about that, and I understand he's the face of the league or whatever, but DeMar's finna be out for damn near 2 weeks. Vooch was out for 2 weeks. I felt like Embiid was out for 3 weeks. That nigga had super COVID.
He was out.
But LeBron, this nigga like, no, fuck out of here. Y'all niggas ain't got me fucked up. I'm playing tomorrow. All of a sudden, it's a negative test. And you know what I'm saying? Get the fuck out of here. Ain't nobody else.
Our first false positive of the season.
LeBron, right, our first false positive of the season. And nobody else. Anybody else who had problems with this, oh, no, y'all niggas really tested positive. This nigga tweet little fishy emojis, and they're like, oh, I'm sorry, LeBron. You can't fool a real nigga. You cannot fool a real nigga whatsoever, man.
On that one. That was clear as day.
I mean, we all know what the fuck is going on, dog. So I'm not buying that shit. But I do think that it's something that needs to happen. We need to be more strict with these protocols. And I'm glad I live in Los Angeles, and we're pretty strict. One thing I noticed when I was back in Chicago was they don't be checking shit.
Nope.
At the crib, they don't. I don't know how it's like in Atlanta, but
you know how it's like. I don't give a fuck.
Like they don't be checking shit in Chicago, bro. Like everywhere I was going, there was no issues. I mean, only time I was getting checked for my shit was when I would cover the Bears games. You know what I'm saying? The Bears, for every Bears game, they send like a COVID sheet to fill out, make sure you got your vaccination. And this would be funny when I would go to like different arenas. With the Raiders were very strict. Nigga, I didn't get anything from Steelers. When I tell you that I maybe saw 2 masks in the Heinz Field crowd for Monday Night Football,
oh yeah,
them niggas ain't give a fuck.
But I will say that though, like when we went to the World Series, the Braves, they made you show your vaccination card.
Okay.
And also, when I went to One Music Fest in Centennial Park, you had to show your vaccination card. And I think you had to be vaccinated to be in VIP or some shit like that, but. So yeah. It's hit or miss, but like the rest of Atlanta, no. You are free to come and go.
You are free to do exactly what the fuck you want to do. But yeah, man, so we're going to see what's going to happen with that. I'm hoping the Bulls don't have any more COVID issues because we can't afford that shit. We've got 3 niggas on the COVID list right now with Debo, Caruso, I mean, not Caruso, Debo, Javonte, and Kobe. And Caruso's got a hamstring injury, which they said that he's going to value in a week. I say give Caruso all the time. Hamstring injuries are not anything to play with. Them bitches can linger, and Caruso's not a guy we can lose long-term. So I would say it's December. There's no point in it. And how dumb does the NBA feel for not putting this on Christmas?
Yeah.
I know. Like, I've really been seeing, like, a lot of people have to take back their Bulls takes.
Oh, yeah.
And they were foolish to begin with.
Nick Friedell ain't had that silly ass grin on his face in weeks.
In weeks. He got it. Him, Joe Cowley is running out of shit to say. Yeah. I done heard so many niggas say, oh, and that Bulls haters really run out of excuses. Like that's the marvelous part of all this thing.
Also, I love it, nigga, because you know, it's been a long time coming. I know a lot of teams want to say, oh, y'all wasn't down bad for that long. But when you live through what we lived through, I get it. Before Mike, it wasn't nothing. But we lived through Mike, G. So
we lived through Mike. And also, we lived
through excellence, nigga. I don't want to see no bullshit.
Yeah, the last 5 years has been us and the Knicks with the worst records in the NBA. And we had a worst record than the Knicks over the last 5 years. So we've been through hell, nigga. I had to watch Denzel Valentine get minutes. So you damn right. I'm going to be excited by every fucking win we get, man. But let's get into our last topic of the day before we get into our weekly power rankings. I want to talk about the Cleveland Cavaliers. Kind of surprise team right now. As of right now, they are 13-12. If the playoffs began today, they'd be the 9th seed in the play-in. Darius Garland is having a hell of a year. Evan Mobley is looking like the rookie of the year. Kevin Love has really embraced his role off the bench as a vet. He's been delivering. Colin Sexton is going to be out for the year. But this has been a real tough team, man. Look at a team that I thought was going to be lottery bound. And they really like a tough team, and they might be able to hold in. What do you think about the Cavs? Do you think they can be a play-in team, or is this just fool's gold early?
I mean, like we said last week, I think we're beyond the point of saying, you know, fool's gold early. I think this is a team that can compete for one of those bottom spots. And I also think it just create it's crazy, and it shows you how much, you know, narratives run thing, like, run things. We're really talking about these play-in spots if they're damn near playoff spots when, like, just a few years ago, these meant literally absolutely nothing. Like, these were just lottery teams. So I do think that's funny. But I think Cleveland, they definitely can compete for the play-in. I won't sit here and say that they can't fizzle out, especially because a lot of what they do is on the defensive end. They can't score. They don't score that much. But I think right now I could definitely see them competing for one of those bottom spots.
Yeah, I think they can too. I think the bottom half of the East is like a fucking cesspool. And I think that's where you're really going to see the Washington Wizards are coming back down to earth, which I've been trying to tell niggas I didn't buy it. I didn't buy it. And I saw somebody say that they had the Wizards better than the Bulls because of the championship experience that so, those guys from the Lakers were. Yeah, KCP
and
fucking Kyle Kuzma. Get the fuck out of my face. The fuck out of it. The one nigga who's more important than both of them niggas on the championship team just happens to be a nigga the Bulls signed. Alex Caruso. So, yeah. So, they're going to be coming back to side. They'll definitely be in that little mix with the Knicks. Sorry to break it to you, Knicks fans. We were right. We tried to tell y'all a long time ago.
Well, I mean, if it started today, the Knicks would be at home.
The playoffs, yeah.
They'd be in the lottery.
Just Julius Randle, man. I just can't get over Julius Randle. Like, I just... Knicks fans out here talking like that nigga was Patrick Ewing, bro. Like, if Julius is your three, you're a really good team.
Yeah.
He's not your number one. He was out there bitching about calls. And then when they played the Bulls last week, the nigga missed three key free throws the four times he went to the line.
How many games are we going to see him do that, G? I've seen and been to a few Knicks games where he's done that shit. Then when the Knicks were in Atlanta in the playoffs, bro, brick like four free throws in the fourth quarter, like crunch time. So this is a consistent thing for him.
Consistent, bro. And it's like you can't rely on him, bro. And they gave him that big ass fucking contract, man. So nobody deserves it more than Knicks fans. But I do think Cleveland can be in that mix. I think they're gonna be a difficult team. But it's not nothing where it's like, oh, this team is gonna be, you know, it's gonna be a little sneaky team. Little sneaky team. Gonna be a team that if you sleep on them, you know what I'm saying, you might actually lose, but it's not gonna be anything that, you know, it's gonna be out of the ordinary. We're not gonna be talking about, oh, we're gonna have to go to Cleveland for the playoffs anytime soon. They definitely have an interesting team going on, man. So I give them their credit with that one. Let's get into our weekly power rankings, man. I'll let you go first. See who got for your top five.
My top five, I got the Bulls at five, I got Brooklyn at four. I got the Bucks at three. I think the Bucks are 9-1 in their last 10 or something silly like that. They really, like I said, really picked up as they gotten healthy. I got the Warriors at number two, and I still got Phoenix at number one.
Okay. You don't have the Warriors in your five this week?
I said the Warriors at two.
Oh, you got them at two. Okay.
Yeah.
For five, I'm going to go with Utah, man. Utah has been playing a lot of good ball lately. They've got the same record as the Nets, but they've been playing more impressive. The Nets aren't in my five this week because they haven't beat anybody of substance. I got to see them beat somebody of substance. I got to see James Harden actually look like James Harden consistently. So I'm going to put Utah number five. Four, I'm going to put Milwaukee. Milwaukee's starting to come together. Like I said, they're 9-1 in their last 10 or something like that. They're really starting to move up the Eastern Conference. So I'm going to put them in number four. Number three, I'm giving it to the Bulls, man. The Bulls are holding it down. They have an impressive win after impressive win. That New York sweep was really impressive. Them beating Denver without all those people they had. I think that's why I put them at three. Number two, I'm going to go with Golden State. They did break Phoenix's little 18-game win streak, but they lost to Phoenix before that. And these niggas lost to the fucking Spurs over the weekend. So yeah. I got to drop them at number two. Phoenix is still my number one. We're going 1-1 with the Warriors, and that's basically without Devin Booker. And they've pretty much gone ahead. And outside of losing to the Warriors, they've been pretty unstoppable, man. So I'm going to have to go with Phoenix for my number one this week. But I do believe that the Nets have a chance to get back in this. The Nets just got to the Nets just don't look believable right now. I think right now we're still waiting for the Nets to be the Nets because they have Kevin Durant and they have James Harden. But this team doesn't have any Joe Harris. We don't know if Kyrie's coming back. And like I said, the biggest thing with them is the same thing, the problem with the Lakers is roster construction. Now, with the Lakers, it was intentional because that's how they drafted. That's how they put that roster together. And that's not how you put a good roster together, like I was saying in the fucking offseason. But see, the problem with the Nets is this team was built to be built around three stars. They didn't expect Kyrie to go all MIA on niggas. And this team wasn't built to be around the duo. And that's why we're seeing the inconsistency from this team. So until I see that, I'm just not giving them that. They have to earn that. And I got to see James Harden look like James Harden. He looks like he's really been affected by that the new rule change. And also, I feel like, you know, Harden is a natural playmaker, but he needs to start being selfish.
Yeah.
Because
at this point, you need that.
You need that. I even think I saw a possession against the Bulls. Like, he was trying to get other people involved and completely forgetting that he was wide the fuck open for a three. And he didn't take that three. So I need to see a more aggressive James Harden. And I need to see the Nets get a win. A big win will help them this week is against Atlanta. Cheap plug. Check us out for our first live stream this week. We're going to see how it's going to be. First couple might be rough because we're figuring out this live stream shit. You know what I'm saying? I am in my 30s, bro. I'm not as tech savvy. There's a lot of you young niggas who might listen to this shit. We're going to see how that's going to go. We're going to do this weekly thing on Patreon, man. So look out for that. That's all we got for y'all this week. Not too much going on in the association. So we're just going to see what's going to happen. See if the Lakers start to string some shit up. Lakers got a little soft schedule coming up, man. You know, LeBron defying COVID protocols will be on the court for all of these. So I really want to see if they can string these up because the Lakers are starting to enter the danger zone. Like, we're a month away from really, 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 really pushing the panic button on this team. I'm giving them the rest of this month. If they still sitting here January 1st and they're still inconsistent.
Yeah, they're 12-12 right now.
So yeah, there's like going to be a problem. Yeah, there's going to be a problem if they're sitting here a month from now and they're still doing the same thing, man. So that's what I'm looking forward to over this next week. And also looking to see how the Bulls going to hold it down without DeMar, man. So as usual, I'm your host, Scott. It's my co-host, Dante. You can follow us on Twitter at BarberChairScott, at OctoberZoneTay. Fuck with the Barber's Chair Network on Twitter at Barber's Chair Net. Subscribe to the Patreon, patreon.com/ Barber's Chair Network, man. $5 packages. You will get summer sessions. You will get Cinema with the Guys, which is strictly Patreon now. For $10, you get everything. You're going to be getting our live stream show starting this week, man. So y'all have a great week, man. And we're going to holler at y'all next week. We are out.